Welcome to Shattering Myths, a program devoted to the most important segment of society. To those who know that the world's political, religious, military, and economic institutions are corrupt, that they're counterproductive, that they cannot be trusted nor fixed. Our phone number, if you'd like to participate in this discussion, which will begin with IQ al-Rasuli, is 877-376-45. My friend, IQ, I want to share with you two news reports, both of which came out late yesterday, and I want you to tell me if you think there's perhaps just a wee bit of hypocrisy going on here. For our listeners, IQ al-Rasuli is the author of two books, The True Faces of Islam, and he is his books are available through Amazon.com. The U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry told Russia, "We are in full agreement that it is critical for Russia to show in the next hours, literally, that they're moving to help disarm separatists, to encourage them to disarm, to call on them to lay down their weapons and to become part of a legitimate process. Or the European Union and Washington are prepared to implement deeper sanctions against Moscow." That's one statement. Washington. President Barack Hussein Obama on Thursday requested $500 million as the first part of a $5 billion plan to supply weapons to appropriately vetted members of the Syrian opposition. How about it?
Well, first of all, but second of all, Obama should be assigned to a mental asylum.
I agree.
Not only him. Not only him.
Yeah.
Every single one in the government of the United States today.
We're in complete agreement. There may be three people out of Congress, out of the Senate, out of the administration that are salvageable. Might be three. I don't know who they are. But of the thousands that are there, we would be better as a world if they were all locked up in a mental institution.
Yeah, I'm very bad mood today.
Okay. I'm good. Me too.
I'll tell you why.
Okay.
The enemy is not Al-Qaeda. The enemy is not ISIS. The enemy is not Islam. The enemy is our leaders. The enemy is within.
Yeah, I'm only going to differ with you on, quibble with you on one really small point here. And it's really a small point. And then I want you to comment on what you think about these two stories that I've just shared with you. I am absolutely convinced that the enemy, absolutely, unequivocally, is Islam. Islam is wholly incompatible with civility, with morality, with life itself. However, a far more deadly enemy is the governments and the militaries of the West, because they are being used to enable Muslims to be infinitely more lethal. Without the governments of the West, Muslims would only be able to kill one another with sticks and stones and knives. But because of the governments of the West, the enemy that is Islam is empowered to do enormous carnage.
We agree. So you already corroborated. I said the enemy is within. I'm not afraid of the Muslims. I know exactly how they will behave. I know exactly how to deal with them.
Correct.
You know, I mean, literally, I know exactly how to deal with them.
Right. In fact, later today, I'm going to...
Our leaders, the spineless, cowardly leaders, you just said Obama wants to 500 million to moderate. There are no moderates in Islam. So who is he going to give the money to?
Yeah, properly vetted. There's no such thing as a peaceful, moderate, kind, loving Muslim. They do not exist. Every Muslim on the planet is a jihadist. If they are not a jihadist, by the Quran's definition, which is the only one that matters, not Obama's, by the Quran's definition, any Muslim that is peaceful and not a jihadist ceases to be a Muslim.
We have to make sure our listeners understand. Jihadist doesn't mean always that somebody will put a bomb on himself or shoot with a machine gun. Jihadist is the one who supports the one, who finances them, who takes care of them, who will spy for them. These are also jihadists.
Now, it's appropriate for us to also inform our listeners that what you just shared is not your opinion. It is what the Quran says. The Quran says that every Muslim must be a jihadist. And and jihad is defined in Islam as using all manner of weapons to wage war in every possible way against every peaceful Muslim and against every non-Muslim in the world. That is jihad, and that there are, that every able-bodied man is compelled to be a jihadist on the front lines, to kill and be killed. However, those who are older, those who, and women, are compelled to devote their lives to supporting jihad. That's why ISIS announced when they seized Mosul that all non-married women were required to perform sexual jihad, which is to reward the actual frontline jihadists with the ability to rape them.
On top of that, we have to add taqiyya, the ability sanctioned by the Quran for every Muslim to deceive non-Muslims. That is also part of jihad. It's called stealth jihad.
Right.
This is also jihad.
So before we just... Okay, so before we move back to these two conflicting stories, it is our joint conclusion, and having become experts on Islam, and you and I know Islam inside and out and in between. We've written multiple books, Lifting the Veil, The True Faces of Muhammad, and Islam is your book. I misstated the title earlier, I'm sorry. And both of us know Islam as well as is probably understand it better than anyone alive. What we both concluded is that Islam is so debilitating to Muslims that Muslims are incapable of making anything that would be deadly on a massive basis. And so the only reason that Muslims have become such a deadly enemy is because the West is supplying them with the tools of death. And if the West stopped doing that, like this $5 billion, this is the first, $500 million is just the first tranche of a $5 billion weapon giveaway to fundamentalist Muslims. And
$5 billion that America is already bleeding. They are
right.
In debt to the tune of $18 trillion.
Correct.
Obama should be removed from office immediately.
Correct. We agree with that. It's not just the money. But the very fact that the West continues to supply weapons to Islamic countries and to weapons to Islamic jihadists is the only reason that these jihadists are deadly. If we just stop supplying them with weapons and we stop supplying them with parts for the existing weapons, then Islam would be finished. All Muslims could do is kill one another with sticks, stones, and knives, and that would be it.
Correct, because they would go back to the 7th century Arabia of Muhammad.
Correct. They're stuck there forever.
That's it.
And so the only reason that Muslims are killing by the hundreds of thousands today is because the West is supplying them with weapons.
Yeah. And the West, not only America, the West also is China, the West is also Russia, the West is not only the United States of America.
That's correct. It's just the United States is by far the worst.
Correct.
In fact, the United States is the most stupid, the most guilty, the largest provider of weapons. In fact, if you took everyone else's supplies, Russia's supplies, China's supplies, France, England, Germany, and you totaled them together, the United States is still supplying five times more weapons to fundamentalist Muslims than all the rest of the countries in the world combined. If you just got the America to shut up and to stand down, the problem would go away because the rest of the countries aren't supplying enough to matter.
Yeah, what I can't understand, you have the military who are literally aiding and abetting what Obama is doing. You have Congress doing the same thing. You have the American people being silent about what's happening.
What's happening?
I don't get it.
By the way, the last point you made, first of all, what you've done is to include the U.S. government and the U.S. military in concert, aiding and abetting Islamic terrorism, rather than fighting it. And they're doing so on a massive scale, and they're doing so while claiming that they're fighting it. But the biggest problem of all, IQ, is the vast preponderance of Americans are absolutely quiet on the matter. They're unwilling to hold their government accountable. This 4th of July, they'll be singing the national anthem and waving the flag when America is the worst country in the world today in terms of mass destruction and murder. No one comes to
this
us.
This is why I'm in a bad mood today. Believe me. I watched Hannity, a program with Hannity.
Yeah, I know him.
I know I'm digressing, but it's very important. 47 minutes he had. 47 minutes with some of the very top-level people who know about Islam, like Pamela Keller, Brigitte Gabriel, and the Glasnost people. I mean, and he was talking about radical Islam. And nobody told him, hey, idiot, what do you mean by radical Islam?
Right.
Islam is radical, it's militant, it is disgusting, it has no shades.
Right.
And
it has no
about
shades.
Radical Islam as if they are moderate Muslims.
And there just aren't. The Quran itself says that there are no moderate Muslims. Read the ninth surah. The ninth surah is awesomely clear. The ninth surah states emphatically that there can be and never have been and never will be peaceful Muslims. If a person is pretending to be a Muslim and they are pretending to be peaceful, they're either lying or they're not a Muslim. They're fooling themselves into thinking they're a Muslim by the Quran's definition, by Allah's definition, by Muhammad's definition. There are zero peaceful Muslims on the planet.
Correct. But Yada, this man is paid millions of dollars. Millions.
Yes.
He's not the only one.
Right.
All of these top-level people on the television.
Yep.
Paid millions of dollars. Not a single one of them even bothered to read the Quran. Forget
Correct.
About studying it.
Right. They all claim to be informed, they all claim to be truth tellers, and they're all lying, protecting the government, protecting the military, making the people ever more vulnerable because they have huge audiences and their audiences are routinely deceived by them. And it doesn't matter if it's Rush Limbaugh or Sean Hannity or any of the talking heads on television, none of them are willing to tell the truth. They won't even take the time to learn the truth. And they continue to promote a lie. When you promote the lie that the problem is radical Islam as opposed to Islam, then you are simply making everyone the world over more vulnerable. You justify the nation supplying weapons to wipe out radical Islam when the problem isn't radical Islam, it's just Islam. Welcome back to Shattering Myths. I am Yada. We're having a conversation with IQ Al-Rasuli, the author of Lifting the Veil, The True Faces of Muhammad and Islam. IQ, I would venture to say that of the distortions and lies being promoted around the world today, there is probably none that is more deadly and more destructive than the idea that terrorism is the result of radical Islam or Islamic extremists, as opposed to it's a product of Islam, period, full stop.
I always said it is the Quran, stupid, the Quran, stupid, the Quran, stupid, full stop.
Right, right. Now, I would go one step further, because while the Quran does present Allah as a terrorist, and while the Quran does endorse terrorist raids, and while the Quran orders Muslims to fight and kill all non-Muslims until the whole world surrenders to Islam, and while the 8th surah, the 9th surah, the 5th surah of the Quran in particular are declarations of war against all humankind, all that said, I still think to fully understand the Quran, you do need the hadith, and there are four hadith collections that were compiled within 200 years of Muhammad's death. Bukhari, Muslim, as well as the Tariq and the Sirah, the biography of Muhammad, the history of Islam, which are also hadith collections, but chronologically ordered as opposed to topically ordered. That collectively, those books, because Sharia law, for example, is based upon Muhammad's example, Muhammad's words and deeds. That's not found in the Quran. It's found in the Hadith. That you really do need all five of those sources to make sense of Islam. And while the Quran in and of itself is sufficient to say Islam is intolerant with humanity, incompatible with humanity, when you put it together with the Hadith, it's the most menacing, diabolical, immoral, ruthless and vicious dogma ever conceived by humankind.
You are correct, obviously, but you are demanding too much.
I'm asking too much.
Even bother to read the Quran,
right.
Let alone to read the Hadith and four books of them. Yeah. Forget it.
Yeah.
We are dealing with morons, criminally negligent morons.
Yeah. By the time that you were to read the first, you know, the first surah of the Quran really isn't a surah. It wasn't even made up by Muhammad. It was added later. But by the time you read the second through ninth surah, so you read just eight surahs, it's over. By the time you've read the third surah, the comments in the second surah are diabolical, but the third surah, the fourth, the fifth is probably the worst in the Quran. The eighth and the ninth, which are declarations of war on all humankind. By the time you've read that, it would be impossible for you to be an honorable individual or moral individual or rational individual and not recognize that Islam is a terrorist manifesto and a declaration of war on all humankind.
Again, you're asking too much. Al-Tawbah 9:29 alone is enough. Al-Tawbah 9:29, what does it say? It says, قاتلوا, Arabic, fight. Those who believe not in Allah nor the last day, nor hold that forbidden, which has been forbidden by Allah and His Apostle Muhammad, nor acknowledge the religion of truth, Islam, even if they are of the people of the book, Christians and Jews, until they pay the jizya, which is an honorous tax for not being a Muslim, with willing submission and feel themselves humiliated. Just to make sure that our listeners understand. The people that Quran is talking about who are unbelievers are currently 80% of humanity. All Christians, Buddhists, Hindus, Jews, and all those who are not Muslims. This is a declaration of war. I don't need more than that.
Well, the only reason
we need more than that.
Yeah. Let me tell you, the only reason you need more than that is that the education system in the West has caused people to believe that anyone who presents a religion other than Christianity is bad, have cherry-picked the worst out of a bad lot and twisted it to convey their agenda. And so while you have read it both in Arabic and in English, and that and no matter the translation, it all says the same thing. By only quoting one verse, even though that one is sufficient if you're a rational person, most people aren't rational anymore. And so the advantage of reading a little bit more, you know, taking a few hours of your time as opposed to 1 minute of your time, is to demonstrate that what you did was not to cherry pick one nasty verse from a sea of moral and appropriate ones. But that if you read just that far in the Quran, what you'd find is there are no moral verses.
Not a single one.
And so all there are is this nasty ongoing argument between Muhammad and those who knew him best, and a declaration of war. That's all there is. There is nothing more to it than that. And by reading at least that much, taking 2 hours of your time, you would be confronted by that reality. We'll be back with IQ Our Rasuli and Shattering Myths after the commercial break. Welcome back to Shattering Myths. We're having a conversation with IQ Our Rasuli. IQ, it is a tragedy that the truth is so obvious. I mean, is it even remotely possible that somebody could take, let's say that you ask somebody, say, you know, I want you, this is the biggest issue of our day. If you're going to run for politics, you're going to be in the media, you're going to be in the justice system, going to be a cop, anything like that. That since Islam is responsible for 99.9% of the world's terrorist acts, that you take a couple of days and you devote them to being educated on Islam. Read your books, read my books, come to understand Islam. Is that really too much to ask?
No. Spending 2 hours of anybody's time, 2 hours, literally 2 hours, as you said, reading the first 9 chapters.
Right.
Doesn't take 2 hours to read the first 9 chapters.
Right.
That's all you need. You don't need more than that.
Well, for the average Joe to become an enemy of Islam, you don't need more than that. If you're going to be the president of the United States and you're going to justify sending $5 billion worth of weapons to Islamic terrorists to fight other Islamic terrorists, then I think you owe it to the people to become better informed than a few hours. But other than that, that's what needs to be done, and most people are unwilling to do it. So America is getting the government that it deserves.
Yeah,
and the government it has is horrible.
The $5 billion are not to kill each other, Muslims. They will be turned against America.
Of course they will.
Every single time it was turned against America.
Of course.
It doesn't end only in the Middle East.
Of course.
It comes back home to haunt you.
Yes. Yeah, look what happened the last time we played this game. The last time we played this game was in Afghanistan. America, same amount of money. America provided $5 billion worth of weapons and training to the Mujahideen in Afghanistan, which we, to make it work, we had to rent from the Taliban. So, I mean, excuse me, from Pakistan. So we rented, we bribed Pakistan to loan us the Taliban, and they also had a new organization that was associated with them called Al-Qaeda. And we rented them for a period of about a decade and supplied them with $5 billion worth of weapons. And they managed to kill about 2 million Afghanis in that war. But beyond that, what happened after the Great Jihad was over in Afghanistan? What did those Muslims do who participated in the Great Jihad in Afghanistan once it was over?
They showed their love and affection for America with 3,000 dead.
And they did the same thing for Europe with an equal number dead in various terrorist acts throughout Europe.
I didn't want to include Europe, but
they did the same thing in Russia. They did the same thing in China. They did the same thing in South America. They did the same thing, Africa. In Africa. Right. So we played this game before. History always repeats itself when you don't learn from it. We played this proxy war game before with Muslims, and after the Afghani Great Jihad, Muslims went back home around the world, and they perpetrated heinous acts of terrorism. Now, I'd like you to compare, if you will, the level of the jihad appeal of fighting in the mountains of Afghanistan against the Soviet-backed Afghani government and fighting to establish a unified Islamic emirate, the Great Jihad against Shia Islam, the appeal of joining a jihad in Syria and Iraq that is designed to take over the entire Middle East. How would you compare the magnitude of the current proxy war, this current jihad, to the one fought in Afghanistan two decades ago?
100 to 1.
Yeah.
The appeal is 100 times more to join ISIS than to join in the fight in Afghanistan.
Yeah, and by the way, I'm going to challenge you again. It's so difficult for us to find places to disagree. I don't think it's 100 to 1. I think it's more than 1,000 to 1.
Okay, I didn't want to exaggerate. So no, if you want to put 1,000, I don't mind.
But the reason is that it was Muslim jihadists against a secular government in a backwards country that nobody cares about, with Afghanistan. This is the heart of the Middle East. This is the heart of the Muslim world. This is not a battle against a secular government. This is the battle to unify Islam by eliminating Shia Islam and the influence of Shia Islam and having all Muslims be Sunni Muslims, which means they follow Muhammad's example from Sunna. And it's being so the location of it, the scale of it, and the purpose of it to establish the end times great caliphate, it's got to be 1,000 times greater.
I don't disagree with you. I agree with you. I just didn't want to make to sound enormously negative, but you're right. The appeal is astounding.
Astounding. I mean, ISIS right now is infinitely. I mean, infinitely is probably that would be an exaggeration. I would say that the appeal amongst the average Muslim today for ISIS is 1,000 times greater than the appeal was of Osama bin Laden and Al-Qaeda 20 years ago.
In Afghanistan, definitely. No question about it. Absolutely not. I agree.
Yeah, yeah. In fact, I've read only one article where somebody actually said that ISIS is so hugely more popular in recruiting Islamic jihadists and Al-Qaeda that you can't even make a comparison anymore.
And it is popular for one simple reason that we, you and I know. The Quran.
Correct.
Because it is based entirely on the Quran. Forget
Correct.
About the Sharia part. It is on the Quran. Because every single time they go on television, they quote from the Quran. They don't say Sharia, although Sharia
no.
is implied. But they are quoting verses from the Quran.
Correct.
Full stop.
Yeah, they're more effective in communicating the message of Islam than was Al-Qaeda. And their goals are vastly more enticing to Muslims than were the goals of Al-Qaeda. And so
yes, because Al-Qaeda was limited.
Correct.
At the time, Al-Qaeda was limited. This
correct.
Is universal.
Correct.
This is to establish the caliphate that
yes.
every single Muslim believes should happen.
Right, yes. That's why 2 weeks ago when this broke out, I said, this is the end of humanity. This is the end of humanity as we know it. This is a wildfire that not only cannot be stopped, but the world is going to add enormous amounts of fuel to, and it's not going to be contained in Syria and Iraq, that it's going to spread not only throughout the Middle East, but around the world. This is the end of humanity as we know it. That's not an exaggeration. It cannot be stopped. It will not be stopped. And we made ISIS into an infinitely more threatening foe than Al-Qaeda ever was.
And this time, I'm going to go against you.
Okay, good. Please.
It can be stopped. And it can be stopped in a very, very short period of time. You've got to have the will. The reason you say it can't be stopped, because you know that what we have as a leadership is completely moronic.
Okay. With that being said, I'm going to share the 7-step plan that could stop it. The reason I'm saying that it won't be stopped is because the average person isn't willing to get off their duff and to take a stand, and the governments are working against our interest rather than for our interest. I will share with you, because you challenged me a week ago, to come up with the plan that could stop it. Here's that plan. Point one, bluntly and boldly expose and condemn Islam as a terrorist dogma and a declaration of war against all humankind, using the Islamic scriptures so that the world comes to realize how deceitful, foolish, counterproductive, uncivilized, immoral, destructive, and deadly the religion is at its root. Simultaneously expose and condemn Muhammad as a rapist, pedophile, slave trader, kidnapper, mass murderer, and terrorist. That's point one. Got any issue with point one?
Not at all. Go for it.
Okay. Point two. Make Islam illegal in the West because it inspires, advocates, incites, justifies mass murder, rape, kidnapping, slavery, treason, and theft, all of which are crimes. Shut down every Islamic mosque, religious institution, charity, community center, and school. Simultaneously, and for the same reason, criminalize the promotion of Islam in academia, in politics, and in the media.
Agreed. 100%. Go for it.
Point three. Stop selling and giving Muslims weapons so that they can only fight with sticks, stones, IEDs, and knives. This ban would include parts for training for and training on all existing weapon systems, as well as all ammunition, all bombs, all missiles. No more military hardware of any kind.
Correct. With
point
all
four.
Of these, which I agree, you're missing something.
Okay. Well, let me continue. I'm on point three.
Okay.
Point four.
Okay.
Stop buying oil and gas from Islamic nations. Stop fueling jihad. Simultaneously, aggressively develop domestic energy production. If an international consensus can be achieved, extract and distribute OPEC oil and gas by bypassing the Islamic dictators. The proceeds of such sales should be split between the people in the countries from which it was extracted and those developing alternative means of energy production. If Islamic terrorists bomb the extraction and distribution facilities, their people get nothing. And by doing this, the world would no longer be paying for its own funeral. That's point four. Got an issue with that?
None.
Point five, completely disengage from Muslim countries. No aid, no support, no invasions, no involvement of any kind. Business transactions should be limited to food and medicine. The Islamic world needs to be isolated to constrain Islamic terrorism. Got an issue with that?
None.
Point six. After destroying and capturing the nuclear development sites and arsenals in Pakistan and Iran, disband 90% of the U.S. military so America is no longer tempted to make bad situations worse in the Islamic world. It is of no value and is actually counterproductive against Islam, and it is bankrupting the nation.
Go for it.
Number seven. As the dust begins to settle and the benefits are accrued, present Yanawa's perspective on religion, politics, patriotism, and militarism, as well as his views on equitable financial interactions, all of which would say doing the right things for the right reasons is the right thing for us to do. We will return to Shattering Myths IQ, and you will have all of the rest of the program, and even afterwards, if you'd like to stay on in the next hour, to add to that or take away from what I've just said. Back to Shattering Myths. We're having a conversation with IQ Hour. Surely I've just laid out a 7-point plan that would, if implemented entirely, not in piecemeal, but entirely, that I believe would stop the terror and the carnage that we are witnessing being perpetrated by ISIS and Islamic terrorists in the world. And that prior to me going through this, I challenged IQ as to whether or not he was in concurrence with my view that if ISIS is not stopped, that we're witnessing the end of the world as we know it, that what they are doing is 1,000 times more appealing to fundamentalist Muslims than anything Al-Qaeda ever did in the name of Islam, and that they will not be limited to Syria and Iraq, that this will spread throughout the Middle East and then throughout the world. So first, IQ, would you please feel free to do two things. One is let our listeners know whether or not you agree that if ISIS is not stopped, that this is the end of the world as we know it. And number two, what did I say that you think should not be done, and what did I omit that should be done?
First of all, I agree with everything you said. It's not because you are the host. It's because we are reading the same scripture, you and I. Because we are reading the same scripture, we come to exactly the same conclusions because we're using the same logic. If we don't stop ISIS, it is World War III. And the seven items that you delineated are exactly what I would have thought and I would have done. I would have started immediately with education to show that Islam, not a years-long education, no, every TV station, every radio station, every printing station, Islam is what it is.
Right.
It is the enemy of humanity. It is the nemesis of democracy. It is the enemy of all freedoms. It's got to be stopped. End of conversation.
Yeah.
And then I go with the sequence of events that you were talking about. Yeah. All of them are going to be made simultaneously.
Yes. Yeah, but if you notice, point one was doing that. Expose and condemn Islam using the Islamic scriptures. And that's got to be first. While all of those things have to be done simultaneously, the biggest priority is exposing and condemning Islam. Until the world recognizes that Muhammad was a pedophile, that he was a rapist, that he was a terrorist, that he was a slave trader, that he was amongst the most repulsive human beings that ever lived, and that taking spiritual or religious advice from a man who was engaged in incest and despicable, repulsive, perverted acts is absolutely stupid. Muhammad was the least qualified person in all of human history to be speaking for God, which is why God did not choose him. And so I think it needs to be simultaneously doing three things. You mentioned one that I didn't mention. A, Muhammad needs to be exposed and condemned as the most perverted animal that ever lived. B, the religion of Islam needs to be shown as absolutely stupid, as having a zero probability of being useful or productive, and it needs to be exposed as an enemy of humanity. It needs to be exposed as a terrorist dogma, as a declaration of war, and incompatible with democracy and freedom of any kind. All of that needs to be done.
but I would start immediately with, Allah is not God.
Correct.
And most certainly not the same as the God of Jesus, Moses, and Abraham. That should completely and utterly eliminate Islam as a religion. It yeah. is a cult belief system. We disagree right. on this terminology, but I insist on it. To call Islam a religion is outrageous vis-a-vis any other religion, because every other religion, no matter how despicable it might have been, nothing are compared to Islam. Nothing.
Yeah, you know, and we disagree here because, from my perspective, all religions are horrible, and there are times, and there are times when the Christian religion, indeed, was worse than Islam has been for much of its existence. So I would condemn all religions, but the fact of the matter is that there's only one religion today that is capable of and is in the process of destroying all life on this planet, and they will do so. This, I mean, I think you do our, and again, it's appropriate for us to disagree on minor issues, and IQ has agreed to stay with us in the next hour. I think we do a disservice to our listeners when we talk about the conflict that ISIS is now promoting in the name of Islam as being World War III. People will compare that to World War II and say, well, that's pretty bad, you know, 55 million people died. We're not talking about 55 million people. We're talking about billions of people this time. So.